are about to hear are the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
You seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it!
You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone. And welcome to yet another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California and member of the National Association of Realtors. But please, don't hold that against me. Here to give you all of the inspiration that you might need to reach your real estate goals and, by a little bit of extension, whatever other goals you might have. It's really all about sort of reaching your desire for independence, whether that, you know, we're focused kind of on a financial aspect of that independence, because as we all know, everybody's got to pay the rent. I want to start off by just giving everyone kind of a general update. In general, everyone has responded really well to the changes in the show that I made on Monday. At a rate of, I don't know, 15-1, 15-4, 1 against. I always give way more brain time to those dissents than I should, but I guess that's the way life is sometimes. But my response to those folks is, you know, that I appreciate that you have a way you prefer to consume your online content or how you like to do things, but this is the way it's going to be. So I'm sorry if I lose you as a listener. I thank all of the others who have reached out, who said this is great, and they're happy to see the changes, and they're anxious to see where we go with this. And it really is going to be a journey for all of us. I've extended an invitation to a couple of folks for interviews. The first one I'd like to do is sort of a friend of the show. He's been on the show before. Some of you may remember. It's been a long time since he's been on. But he is not only a guy who offers a service that relates specifically to real estate, and it's something that sellers should consider. I mean, depending on where they are in a marketplace, the kind of services he offers could be invaluable. But he's also a guy who has built his own business, and not only his own business, but a crazy out there niche business that could apply to a lot of things other than just real estate, although that is where he has chosen to focus an awful lot of his efforts. So I may be speaking out of school because we haven't actually done the interview yet, but hopefully within the next week we'll be hearing from him, and I'm very excited to talk to him again. It's actually been a really long time since we've talked at all, so it'll be nice to catch up. So look for that sometime probably in the next week. It's not going to be early next week. At the earliest it would be Friday next week. So just sort of keep that in the back of your head that we've got an interview coming. There's some sort of synchronicity to having him be the first interview of the new format. So I'm kind of holding out for that. And I've got one or two others that I'm entertaining as a possibility. As I said, I've gotten plenty of feedback. And, you know, the proof is in the numbers. The show has, in terms of numerical listens, really shot up. I know that for a long time, folks had thought that sort of the Rebel Broker had decided to put the show on a back burner and move on to other things. For a while, I was kind of thinking those things myself, to be honest. And I think the way that things were happening on the show was kind of showing that. But once I kind of hit the point I did last weekend, and we've already discussed that. We discussed that in the first new show of the new format on Monday. I'm back in. I'm fired up. I'm ready to help people make things happen in whatever their endeavors might be. And the key here is to understand that even if you're someone who is out to be the best ditch digger in the world or the best spaceship builder in the world and anything in between, my experience in doing what I do and dealing with a whole lot of people who cover that spectrum is that every single one of those people has something to offer to the other people. I have worked with clients in real estate as their representative, representing them as their buying agent or their selling agent. I've had folks who invented a new kind of digital wireless thermostat that he's now selling in China. I have worked with folks who had just dozens and dozens of patents to their name and were just creative, inventive types who have managed to sort of find their way in life into other things that help them reach that. I guess we could call it that Quan, right? From Jerry Maguire. Yeah, I want the Quan. And I think we all want that. And the specific way we get there or our vision of what it is at the end may be different. But a lot of the tactics, techniques, lessons that you can learn that'll help you get there are going to be common to all of us. So hopefully this will be a place for us to share those things. Again, I'm putting out a call. I'm going to be putting out regular calls on Twitter for folks to share their stories with me. I really want these. Despite the fact I've gotten tons of people reaching out saying yay for the show, I haven't gotten a single story yet, and I want stories. So regardless of what you do, if you started a house cleaning business and well, then I want to hear about it. I want to hear what you did that succeeded. I want to hear what you did that failed, helped grow your business or maybe made you have to step back and reevaluate. These are all things that if you take enough steps back, it's not just about the specific industry that you were doing things in. It's about overcoming those obstacles that get faced by everyone, no matter what their goals are. Today was interesting because one of the messages I got from a listener related specifically to the story we told about Zillow a few days ago, where it was starting to look like things may not be going their way. The bottom line is that Zillow makes money by being a lead generator for real estate people. So, and a lot of consumers, I don't think get that, that the reason Zillow does or doesn't succeed is because they charge real estate agents money to get access to you. That's how it works. It's the same for Zillow and Trulia and all those sites that do that. The only site that doesn't do that is Realtor.com. And it does it to a certain degree, of course, because Realtor.com is part of the National Association of Realtors. So we all are paying, all folks who pay Realtor dues are paying a certain amount of money into the organization that does that. But they actually don't allow as much of the direct in-your-face marketing, competitive marketing between agents that the other sites do. It's a little bit more of a Queensberry rules kind of thing, I guess, on Realtor.com. But there were some interesting things that were brought up in this article. I did a little bit more research to make sure it wasn't just something that a one-off that someone had come across. And sure enough, on Bazinga and a ton of other sites, I found this article, and it comes from the research that was done by a group called by Citrons. Let's see. Is that the full name of the company? Yeah. The Citrons group that is doing research on Zillow, on the Zillow group, right? It's called the Zillow group now because they also own Trulia, and I think they also just recently bought a couple of other things. But I thought this article was really fascinating. It's a little bit inside baseball. It's a little bit outside there. And it does, if you want to find out better ways to get access to real estate information, I talked about that on the Zillow show, which I think was 2-3 days ago. So you can go back and look at that one. And because of the new way I'm doing the show, you'll find it because it'll be the title of the show. I'm not doing 10 different stories in one show. So now there you go. Built-in searchability for you to find the shows you care about. It's one of the number one complaints I got about the old show, and now it's solved. See, there I am, finding out things that bother you and solving them. That's what it's all about. In any event, so Zillow is currently trading at about $80 a share. It's at $79.55 as of today, Saturday, July 25th. And it's interesting. I mean, there isn't really anything to draw out of this. I mean, I'm not going to be able to say once we're done discussing this, here's what buyers, sellers, and investors should be doing. It's not really that type of a thing. But it really is sort of an interesting testament to the overall health of real estate that these things are happening with Zillow. remember what the narrative is about what's happening with the real estate market. Everything's on the uptick. The market is headed up. Well, if it's headed up, then that would indicate more real estate agents looking to advertise, and more money being made by anybody who has access to that huge pool of potential buyers and sellers. Well, that's Zillow. That's Trulia. That's those companies. And I'll tell you what, there was a time when – and while am I spending anything on Zillow anymore? No, I don't. I'm not. I stopped spending money on Zillow. I did a complete review of all my stuff. Now, there was a time when I advertised at the maximum levels on both Zillow and Trulia. And I'll tell you, I just dipped my little toe into this sort of advertising because it felt too much like lead purchasing to me, which is what it is. And I'm not a lead purchasing guy. I prefer other ways to contact potential clients. But this seemed like a good way to go. Statistics were showing 85 to 90% of folks were starting their search on the internet. Now it's well over 90% in my area. So it made sense to try to get in front of as many people as possible through the most popular websites on the web. And at that time, the most popular were Zillow, Trulia when Trulia was separate, and also Yahoo Real Estate. Yahoo Real Estate isn't a separate thing. Yahoo Real Estate gets all of its data from Zillow. So anything you see on Yahoo Real Estate, you're going to see the exact same thing on Zillow because it is the same thing. It's just Yahoo just takes Zillow and brands it with Yahoo, and then that's what's there. So there was a time there when I advertised at the maximum level on Zillow. And I'll tell you, within 2 weeks of starting my advertising, I didn't start at the maximum level. I started at a very low level. But within just a couple of weeks of having started that program, I had a buyer and a seller come to me through Zillow and find me through Zillow. So I was sold, and it worked that way for approximately a year. And then something changed in the way they do things. I don't know if that's when they changed it to sending leads to multiple agents in a go instead of sending it to just one agent at a time. I'm not sure what the change was, but it changed and it reduced the effectiveness. Another change was made apparently sometime about 8 months after that, and it was made even less effective. So at that point, I advertised and was advertising and found that I wasn't getting any bang for the buck on my advertising for about 9 months. I mean, I could not trace specifically any business to Zillow at all. So canceled all the advertising on Zillow and saved myself a huge chunk of money. I was paying way too much money, frankly, and then focused on Trulia because I was getting far more volume of leads from Trulia. Just recently cut back on my Trulia buyer aimed ads simply because I went through another period of 10 to 12 months where I could not track any business to Trulia. So I currently do a little advertising with Trulia just for seller leads. Because I still have buyers. I have lots of buyers that I'm still trying to find homes for. But I'm low on sellers. So that's my online experience. And I have other advertising I do. But so, I mean, if I am any microcosm of agents that have worked with Zillow and Trulia, then there's probably a problem. I mean, of course, when I talk to them, they are absolutely clutch the pearls shocked that I am not just rolling in buyers and sellers because of the level of advertising that I'm doing. And they'll tell me I have the best profile in my zip code. I have more positive reviews than any other person in my zip code. Well, I had that for the last 6 months that I was paying them lots of money. And so that would indicate to me that even when I am exactly what they say I should be, it's not happening. And they're really smart about retention. I mean, they have special folks who are trained to engage in – I'm sure on their part it's sincere efforts to improve your situation so you'll get better leads. But by and large, in retrospect now, it just feels more like delaying tactics so that you keep paying that monthly amount. And just to calibrate you, just to get in at the entry level at Zillow, just to get started, you have to be willing to spend – over $600 a month, at least in the area where I am. And I'm sure it's even more expensive in other areas. I'm sure that they base that number on average prices in the area and volume of sales and those other types of things. So it's no cheap trip to be involved with these guys. And I'm sure there's plenty of folks who are. But let's kind of get into it. I wanted to sort of give you the background, sort of give you an understanding of how Zillow makes money and its relationship to real estate agents, that type of thing. Its relationship to me now is the contacts I do get from Zillow tend to be folks who apparently have been hit in the head with something heavy. They're asking me about properties that sold a year ago, and they're seeing if they can go see them. And that may be Zillow showing a property and not being very clear about its status. But I tend to get very disconnected to from reality type questions from folks who contact me via Zillow. Can't explain why, but that's the way it is. Okay. Right now, the big question for the Citron Research Group relating to Zillow is how low can the stock go? As I said, it's trading right around $80 a share, $79.55. And they're suggesting that $40 is a good point to start having your discussion at as it relates to how low Zillow will go in terms of its stock value. Well, that's a shocker. I mean, see, and so while we can't draw a here's what you do if you're a buyer, seller, and investor conclusion from any of this, we sure as hell can draw some what is the broader health of the real estate market right now. You in a healthier market, you would assume you would see more agents willing to do this. So is this a case of that, or is this a case of just agents backing away from this, still seeing relatively robust sales, but just backing away from something that's proven to be too expensive for what it is? Now, keeping in mind how much I told you it would cost just to get into entry-level, low-level stuff, the lowest level to let you start at is between $600 and $700. And I'm sure it goes up from there. I'm sure that there are probably some other areas where it's cheaper. I know the really small town of San Martin, I owned that one forever for – I think I was the only agent even advertising on Zillow. I love San Martin. If any of you ever visit the area and you want to hang out with me, let me show you San Martin. It is an awesome little town. It's between Gilroy and Morgan Hill, mostly acreage properties in this little town, very much a horse type place, but also a get the hell off my property kind of a place. And not in the mean way, but more in the independent folks who want to have some land type vibe. I don't mean to, they're all very friendly, wonderful people, but I'd love to drive you around and show you some of the amazing places. And then we can go to Starbucks and have a coffee. But in any event, that was like $100 and something. So it clearly has something to do with the volume. Stuff doesn't come up in San Martin very frequently. So, and I did that just because I loved the town. And I thought if anything does come up in San Martin, I want it. Anyway, so there's 10 reasons that the Citron Research folks say that Zillow is on its way down. So for those of you who are pursuing your quan through the stock market and you like real estate and you've invested in Zillow because you see it as, you know, one of those top sites to go to, first keep in mind it's no longer the top site. In terms of market share, if I'm not mistaken, Realtor.com just took it over. But also, agents like myself are not paying them money anymore. So keep that in mind. If I owned Zillow stock right now, I would sell it. So number one, Zillow is a lead generation company for real estate agents and mortgage brokers. As such, it will ultimately trade at an adequate valuation. For instance, TrueCar, they're doing some comparison now between sites that do semi-similar things, currently trades at roughly 2.5 times its revenue. And Bankrate Incorporated trades at about 2 times its revenue. Zillow, however, trades at 4 times its revenue, currently at 4 times its 2015 revenue. Point number two, in what Citron believes is the jump the shark moment, the CEO wants investors to view the company in terms of decades instead of years or quarters. Well, okay, if I wanted to view my investment funds in terms of decades, I would have bought what about treasuries or something, right? You don't want to think about your investments in terms of I'm laying down thousands of dollars and maybe in 10 years I'll make something, right? That's just kind of creepy. Number three, despite wanting investors to be patient, CEO Spencer Raskoff got rid of all of his Zillow stock. The chief executive sold almost $14 million in stock over the past year. So here's a little something for you. If ever you're an investor, let's say the way you want to go, let's say you're not quite the real estate person. Let's say you're not willing to take risks on real estate things. And let's say you are more of a stock guy and you want to be that dude who sits in front of his machine and trades on a daily basis and does his things. One flag for you is if the CEO is selling all of the stock of the company that he owns, that's a bad thing. I remember God, you know, something similar happened back in the early 90s with Apple. And the only reason I remember is I had worked for Apple for a couple of years and gotten a bunch of stock that I ended up holding on to. And then when I saw that the CEO was selling all of his stock, I think I sold all mine as well. Now, in retrospect, majorly stupid. In the short term, it was smart because the stock did, in fact, then go down. But, you know, that's another story. Number four, after 9 years of service, Chief Financial Officer Chad Cohen resigned. Number five, the company is net losing customers. I'm their customer, right? They may have good numbers of visitors, but I'm their customer. I'm the person who pays them, and I'm not paying them anymore. So they're losing the people who make them money. And apparently the observation here is that this is not just me. They're not losing money because the rebel broker stepped back and stopped writing checks. They're seeing a more nationwide, industry-wide back off from that. And that's kind of the interesting thing. Why was there this back off? Now, you could say, oh, well, it's just this, what you're saying, Rebel. It's just that the leads aren't any good. Well, why would the leads not be good? Why would the leads suddenly, in my case, become not good? There was a period when they were good. Well, it indicates to me that the folks who are coming through Zillow are less serious. These are folks who are less interested. These are folks who are less motivated, less inspired. Well, that's not a Zillow thing. That's a people thing. And since they take a pretty wide swath of the consuming public, of the purchasing public, that's an interesting thing to observe. And definitely something to think about. Number six, at the current share price, no one would acquire the company. In fact, the recent Yelp no sale validates this point. Number seven, Zillow has been unable to make a real profit in one of the largest real estate booms in history with less competition than it faces now. Besides promises, management has never discussed how the business will improve in the future. Now, I think this is an excellent point. I know plenty of agents that are absolutely hungry for business out there and looking for ways to get it. And apparently they're not finding it at Zillow. But I also know there's – despite the fact – you know, everyone talks to me and says, wow, Robert, the market must be going crazy for you. You must be doing really well. And as I've discussed before, the last year has actually not been a great year for me in terms of just the history of me doing this. Now, I've been involved in real estate for over 25 years. I've always had a hand in it, and for a huge chunk of that time I've been a full-time real estate person. But I've also had those periods of time when I stepped back and got a job at a big corporation. I'd worked at Apple. I've worked at some other high-tech places. And even when I worked there, I still did real estate. So I'm real estate's kind of my – not my first love, but it's absolutely my enduring love. I almost hate to make this joke. It lasted longer than my marriage. there's that. I would be lovely to say that I've been married for 25 years plus, but I can't. But I can say I've been in real estate that long. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Eight, analysts have been losing credibility on this name for years. Number nine, competition is only getting substantially stronger. Just go to any real estate conference. Realtors know that Zillow is so 1.0, not to mention Murdoch, the experts say. I'm not 100% sure what the hell that means. Am I just dumb because I don't know what that means? Yeah, I don't know. Number 10, I'll have to look into that. I feel like an idiot because I don't know what the heck that means. Do they mean Rupert Murdoch? I'm guessing they mean Rupert Murdoch, right? I don't know. Anyway, number 10, Zillow has been forced to cut deals with national real estate brand operators for listing protection. These have cut deeply in the amount of inventory, ad space on listings available to sell. Needless to say, a good part of their quality inventory is unavailable for sale, which lowers return on investment on what is left. This trend is self-perpetuating. Less inventory equals less leads. Blocked inventory equals lower quality leads. And that absolutely sums up my experience with Zillow. But remember, regardless of the inventory stuff, if folks are looking, they're going to these kinds of places. So I would argue that that regardless of the blocked inventory or the lower inventory, I'm not 100% sure that absolutely equals lower quality leads. I think that I mean, and here's what's really crazy is every once in a while, someone on Zillow will list a home or a home for rent for whatever amount, and they will inadvertently enter it as a home for sale. And the low amount, despite the fact there's no way that in reality someone is about to sell a home for $1,000 or $3,000, folks will just jump out of the woodwork and it'll generate a storm of lead emails that you have to just say, no, that's a house for rent. That's not what it's selling for. And anytime something comes in with a really low price, that's when things go crazy, regardless of whether or not, you know, I mean, I still get folks coming to me occasionally from Zillow, even though I am not one of the agents that will be presented as one you can choose to get info on a listing anymore on Zillow. Somehow folks still find me and then will contact me about odd things that they have seen on Zillow. So I think all of this translates into sort of two interesting things. One, if you're looking to be an investor style person in terms of stock market type stuff, Zillow is probably not for you. If you're someone who's interested in things that indicate odd things happening in the real estate marketplace, I think this absolutely qualifies. You know, the Zillow organization now owns Trulia and Zillow, basically two of the go-to places. I do know now that, you know, earlier in my career, or not earlier in my career, earlier in the existence of Zillow and Trulia, you know, just about everybody, I could find high-end investors, I could find first-time buyers who indicated they found stuff on Zillow and Trulia. Today, none of my investor clients will bother with Zillow and Trulia. If they use anything, they either use my search, they use realtor.com, or they use Redfin. I've never really dipped my toes into Redfin. I'm not even sure if I can – I'm sure I can probably advertise on Redfin. I'm just not sure what the dynamics there are. But in any event, I think this reveals an interesting thing about the marketplace. I think when you fold this in with other things we've talked about, right? Just over the last week, we've talked about things that indicate that the market is likely to be doing a little shifting. That we may be able to find some good deals in the next few months, whether we're talking about REOs or we're talking about general slowing down of different things. This is the kind of stuff that continues to feed what feels like a trend, right? So I think we're sort of building a decent case here that we may be heading into a period of time when it might be smart again to start thinking about jumping in and investing in real estate, or at least I think it's always smart to jump in and invest in real estate. And of course, that's my bias because that's what I do. But there's a variety of levels of that, right? There's the, I'm going to look for deals, which means I'm going to make dozens and dozens and dozens of offers that are going to get turned down because it's a more competitive marketplace. And I'm going to have to look for that what weird property that no one seems to want to buy for some odd reason. Maybe it's the smell. Maybe it's because there was a mass murder in the house. I don't know. But you're that investor looking for that property because that's the only property you can get. Or there's lots of properties out there and not quite so many buyers and people aren't so excited about buying. So there's always opportunities in real estate for folks. It's just a question. In one scenario, you have maybe a 40 or 50% chance of getting your offer accepted when the market's a little bit more in your favor. And in the other, you've got a 1 in 20 chance or 1 in 50 chance of your offer being accepted. And it's just a question of being persistent. You know, and that's something else. Maybe for today's show, we'll try, because I haven't been able to give you a what to really learn from this other than sort of a general market thing. Let's talk about a trait. Let's talk about a characteristic that transcends real estate, transcends everything, and really gets to the heart of what helps people be successful. And I'd just say persistence. You know, one of the best sayings that I like to disagree with is insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. No, that's persistence. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result because you know you've observed a positive result at some point, right? My argument would be that never lose specifically in real estate. If you've made 100 offers and you have had all of them turned down, look at that stack of papers and say, thank you for teaching me how to write an offer. Thank you for helping me build my understanding of the importance of patience and persistence in what I'm trying to achieve. You know, I've got investor clients who are down at the lower end in terms of what they want to spend. I've got a few others that are million plus type buyers, and they're looking less because they're worried about money and more worried about just the type of property. And there's a little bit less competition for a lot of them at those levels. So it's a different story for them. But I can't tell you how many folks I've sort of seen melt away after 5, 10, 15 offers, and they just throw up their hands and they say they're done. That's not the way that it's going to work for you. No matter what you're doing, whether you're I went through this. There was a period of time for me in the late 80s and early 90s where I started a lot of companies with other people. Every single one of those things crashed and burned. For a lot of different reasons. There are a couple instances where I was just too young and immature, I think, to really pull it off. And I ended up blaming a lot of other people for shortcomings that were actually mine. But you know what? The fact I can sit here and tell you that shows I learned something from that. I learned something about myself. I'll be happy on a later show to share with you some of those hard lessons. So today I'm going to offer, just be persistent. Just keep plugging away at it, I don't want to compare it to a force of nature, right? I was going to go to the Colorado River carving the Grand Canyon. That's just too much. That's too far to throw that stone. But just all the people who've had all these failures, right? Whether you want to talk about the creation of the light bulb and how there were 1,000 attempts to build the light bulb before the right one got made. So it's all about persistence, and it pays off ultimately. And a corollary to that is, in the process of doing all that stuff, be attuned and be self-aware enough to realize where you're weak, and realize that success oftentimes doesn't depend just on you and your persistence. It depends on your ability to bring in other people, to bring in other expertise, and let other people feed off of your persistence. This is a lesson I learned later in life, shockingly recently, actually, where I always thought I could do everything myself, you know, but there isn't enough hours in the day. So even if I could do all of it, I can't do all of it. There's just not enough time. Between being a reasonably decent father and managing everything else I have to do, it can't be done. So at some point you need to realize that some goals can only be reached with a right team. And I'd argue that most goals are that way, particularly the ones that really help you achieve what you want to achieve. It's not just a single player thing. You have to have other people in there backing you up. So there you go. You got two nuggets for the price of one out of today's show. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen to what I have to say on these subjects. I hope that this show becomes even more relevant to you and what you're trying to do. And I realize a lot of you are here just for the real estate, and that's fine. That's where I can offer the most specifics. But as I've said before, in a more broad, general way, it's about uplifting every one of us towards the goals that we're striving for, regardless of whether or not it has to do with real estate. Because I honestly believe that the lessons you can learn in achieving anything translates pretty well to achieving everything. So in that spirit, again, I ask for everyone to head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. Send me a message. You can click the Contact Robert link, and I will be happy to reach out to you if you'd prefer to talk to me live about your story, or if it's a very long story, you don't feel like writing it all down, or whatever you want to do. I'm happy to facilitate communication with the folks who listen to the show in any way that works for them. So reach out, get in contact, send me a message. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear the successes. I want to hear the failures, because we can learn from all of them, and everybody who listens to the show can benefit. So thanks again, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow.